Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. With God's help, I'd like to speak to you on this theme, waiting for due season. Waiting for due season. The Christian life involves a spiritual warfare each and every day. Because of this, it is very easy for all of us to become weary in body and in spirit. Weariness is real. No one is immune to it, whether it be physical and or spiritual. There is a danger that comes with growing weary. One of the reasons there's a danger in growing weary is because that the work that we do for the Lord is never going to be applauded by the world and those that are not of God. So when weariness comes in and there's no applause or there's no pat on the back, it's a very dangerous time for the believer. In this one verse of Scripture, we find some great, I would say, nuggets of truth from God's Word that can help us to wait and not grow weary for that due season. We find principles to follow, as I hope and pray that we as children of God have a great passion and desire to remain, as the song says, to keep on the firing line for the Lord Jesus until He calls us home or until He returns, waiting for due season. Heavenly Father, as we take a look through this verse as well as other verses, please encourage us today. Possibly there are Christians who've come to church today weary. Would you please encourage us? Possibly there are people that have come to church today that aren't even Christians. We're glad they've come to church. Please help them to recognize they need to be saved. I don't know everyone's need today. The good thing is, the truth is that you know everything. You are omniscient. And so please take control of this preaching time now in Jesus' name. Amen. First and foremost, we see from our text, number one, a direct challenge. A direct challenge. What is the direct challenge? We see it in verse number 9. Let us not be weary. Do not grow weary. Now, I just got through saying that when we serve the Lord, it's easy to get weary. And yet, the Apostle Paul here says, don't grow weary. Turn over quickly in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. We're going to come back there to Galatians chapter number 6, but quickly turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. A direct challenge. Do not grow weary. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And once again, Paul writing says, but ye brethren, 3:13, but ye brethren, and what are the next three words? Be not weary. Be not weary. Notice what it says, in well-doing. I think it's not listed there, but this is just how I think about it, that in living for the devil, we're going to get weary really fast. Notice he says, be not weary in well-doing. He didn't say, be not weary in sin, because sin brings what? Bondage. Sin brings a weariness that living for God does not bring. And so Paul says here, be not weary in well-doing. There is one goal for every believer in this room today that the enemy has. There's many, but there's one that we're thinking of today, and that is this. The enemy would love for every born-again believer to discontinue your well-doing. The enemy wants us to be a weary bunch walking through life doing nothing for the honor and glory of God. The devil wants us to live this life and not live for the next life. What is the next life for a Christian? Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven's a wonderful place, but how come so many believers are living for this world? How come so many times I am making decisions that are not based on eternity? They're based on now. No, that's not how I should be living my life. I should be doing well for the glory of God. And we'll talk about it later on with regards to so many different things. Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing." Think about those words. Continuance in well-doing, but don't miss the patient. Romans chapter number 2, verses 6 and 7. Patient continuance in well-doing. Seek for glory to them who by patient continuance, in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Continuance in well-doing, a direct challenge. Do not grow weary. The Puritan John Brown said this: many Christians are like children from time to time. They would like to sow and reap the same day. That's not how it works on the farm. That's not how it works in the produce business. That's not how it works with the crops. We don't plant and harvest in the same day. A lot of things have to happen to that seed before there's going to be a harvest. May we as God's children wait for due season. However, it is common to become tired of sowing and be anxious for the harvest. I've been praying for this family member to be saved for X amount of years. I'm getting weary of it. I'm just using that as an illustration. I've been sharing the gospel with my neighbor. I've been giving the gospel to this person. I've been whatever it may be. I'm getting a little bit weary because it seems like there isn't anything coming in by way of harvest. Well, that's God's business, amen? The harvest is God's business. We need laborers, we need sowers, we need laborers for the glory of God, that no matter the weariness or no matter the harvest, whether it's coming or not, know that we faithfully labor for the work of the Lord and stay encouraged in the work of the Lord. A man stopped by one day to watch a baseball game. When he got to the baseball game, he said something to the young man that was there, and he said, "Well, how's the game going?" And the young man said, "Well, it's not going very good, but you know what? It's probably going to get better." And the man said, "What do you mean it's not going very good?" And the young man said, "We're losing 16-0. Now, any of you that know a little bit about baseball, that's almost an insurmountable deficit. You get 1 point for a run in baseball, not like you get 6 points for a touchdown. So to be behind 16-0 is almost impossible to catch up to that. And the man looked at the young man and he said, "You know what? For being behind 16-0, you don't look very discouraged." He said, "Sir, you don't understand something. We haven't even come to bat yet. We haven't even come to bat yet." See, it's all in how you look at it. You know, right now it might look like in your life, it might look like in the situation today that's burdensome to you, it might look like that you're down 16-0. Hey, not only does the hymn book tell me this, but Revelation tells me this, which is more important than the hymn book. We as God's children are on the winning side. So whether or not it feels like or looks like I'm behind by 16-0, God is going to balance everything in the end, and those that follow Him are going to be victorious, and those that follow the enemy are going to be defeated soundly. And I stand on God's word, and I thank God for that promise, a direct challenge. Letter A, weariness can develop over time. Weariness can develop over time. As we go back to Galatians chapter 6, it says, "Let us not be weary." Weary. Exhaustion. This can be physical, this can be spiritual, this can be emotional. Weariness, exhaustion, and this word, losing heart. My translation for that is giving up. Throwing in the towel, as we say. I don't have the heart to continue in it anymore, whatever it may be. It is important that we not let our lives get to the point of spiritual exhaustion. I will guarantee you one way this will happen. One way this will happen is if we never feed the Spirit. easiest way to be weary in well-doing is to do well, but don't be in the book. Next year's theme, well, I'm not going to tell you yet, but anyway, I almost told you that's close. Pray about it. It's going to be a good one, I hope, God willing. But we can do all that we want for the Lord, but if we don't feed the Spirit, we're going to get weary. It's pretty much a guarantee. I think most of us know that. This will happen when I have no time for God. Pastor, no time for God? Doesn't matter if it's the pastor or a brand new Christian. When we have no time for God, we are going to get we will get weary. And I'm not saying I'm the greatest Christian by saying that way. I don't mean to think like that. But it doesn't matter where we are on the greatness or the not so great. We need to be feeding the Spirit of God. The Spirit that is within us, not the Spirit of God. The Spirit that is within us by the Spirit of God. This will happen when I am too busy for God. This will happen when I'm too busy to pray. This will happen when because of the life that I have, that I'm living, I have all of life, but very much for the Lord. Not much for the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us something about the Lord Jesus in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1, verse 35. It says this, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there," what? "Prayed." Now we're talking about God's Son. We're talking about all power. But we're talking about someone who laid aside what he laid aside and took on the robe of flesh, not ceasing to become God, but also continuing to be man at the same time. And he leaves us a great example that a great while before day, he told us the importance of finding time to spend with his Father. And that Father is our Father today as Christians. Weariness can develop over time. Letter B, weariness will deplete the Spirit. Weariness will deplete the Spirit. Exhaustion. I'm not talking about the fact that we're physically tired. That does play into this. But I'm talking about mainly today a weariness of spirit. Exhaustion and losing my joy go together. What is it today in your life that the devil is using to rob you of the joy that God wants you to have? The Bible says, Philippians 4 and 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Always. That means there's never a time when I should not be rejoicing in the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. But becoming weary and not feeding the Spirit is going to lead to a lack of joy. It's going to become a sense of do's and don'ts in the Christian life. And while there are definitely clear-cut things that we should be doing and that we shouldn't be doing, I really don't want to live my life thinking like that. I want to live my life thinking like, however God instructs me from His Word, it's not a matter of do's and don'ts. I want to prove my love to my Heavenly Father. But I'll tell you this, whenever we become weary, our joy is soon to leave us. We hear of someone getting saved, and when we're weary, very little happens on the inside. You realize when one person gets saved, what that means? Think of it. We hear of one person getting saved. That means that that soul was headed for hell. Now, because of God's greatest gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that soul is no longer going to go to hell. That soul is now going to go to heaven to be with Jesus for all eternity. Think about what that means for that individual. Think about what the Bible says that happens in the presence of the angels when one sinner repents. What happens? There's joy. Joy. Oh, but I'll tell you this, when we're weary and we hear the missionary update and it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other. Oh, the missionary handed out 5,000 tracts. I'm telling you what, when you think about that, you think about a gospel tract. Think about the value of one gospel tract, let alone 5,000. Think about the message that's on those gospel tracts that are going out into the highways and byways of the cities and towns and villages of the men and women that we support here on a yearly basis with our gifts of finances, but well as our prayer. You know what? When we become weary in well-doing, the joy that comes in the work of the Lord is soon to go by the wayside. Oh, God help you and God help me to once again be rekindled. Let the Spirit of the Lord rekindle that joy that we once had over people that would be saved or the work of the Lord moving forward. The inner man can be strengthened even when the body is tired. Let's look at a verse, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16. Even when the body is tired, the inner man can be renewed. The inner man can be strengthened. And by the way, really, that's the way it happens from the inside out, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. We're talking about the first point is do not grow weary. We're hoping that God's word today with His Spirit will challenge each and every one of us to not grow weary in well-doing. We see in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, Paul writes, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," our outward man becomes weak, our back hurts, our knee hurts, our elbow hurts, everything hurts. Hopefully not, but you know. Though the outward man is perishing, I love what he says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I have definitely sat in the presence of people who had every reason to not be renewed in the things of God because so many things were broken down on their body. Again, those very same people that I've sat in their presence, you could sense that the joy of the Lord was their strength. That the joy of the Lord was helping their inner man to be renewed day by day. A couple of observations that come to mind about this thought of being renewed day by day. Number one, as we must consider Christ. Turn to quickly to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So that our inner man can be renewed day by day. Number one, we must consider Christ. Hebrews 12, the Bible says in verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And these three words that begin verse 2 are going to be a great encouragement and challenge as we seek to be renewed. Looking unto Jesus. You want to be renewed day by day. Number one, look to Jesus. Stop looking at yourself. Stop looking at your fellow Christian who failed you. Stop looking at pastors and people that have failed you. Myself, if I'm one that's failed you, don't focus on that. You're definitely going to be not renewed day by day. You're going to be weary. And so instead, focus on Christ. Look at Jesus. Look what He did. Look how He endured the cross and despised the shame and all that He did so that we would have not only a home in heaven, but so that we would be able to have joy unspeakable and full of glory now. You know, this is this is an ugly world that we live in. And I'm not talking about ugly. I'm talking about this is a nasty, sinful world that we live in, isn't it? You don't need very spiritually discerning eyes to recognize it. It's pretty easy. It is a nasty world that we live in. It is a world that hates God and everything about this book. Even the Bible itself tells us, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Oh, this world offers us no hope. This world offers us no strength. This world offers us no encouragement and joy. But when we keep our eyes heavenwardly, we can have an inner man that is being renewed. And while the body is failing and falling and things are not working properly and then things are happening in and around us that we don't want to happen, keep looking to Jesus. Keep looking to Jesus. The inner man will be renewed. Secondly, 1 Corinthians 15:58, as we look at Jesus, here's another determination with God's help. By the way, you can't just, you know, we're not like the engine that could. I think I can. No, I think he can, and I know he can. It's not about whether I think I can. I know he can. It's not about whether I think I can have victory over sin. I know he can help me have victory over sin. I think I can remain not get weary. No, he can help me not get weary in well-doing. Look what it says in verse 58 of 1 Corinthians 15. Many of you can quote it from memory. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One of the main quotes of a verse that I write when I write our missionaries. Please write our missionaries. If you have a computer, you can sit down in no time flat. You can write an email to the missionaries. And I wrote an email this week to Brother Paulician. And in about 15 minutes, he called me from the mission field. I mean, technology these days, this isn't amazing. I said, it sounds like you're next door. He was calling me from a phone that you call over the internet, and I think some of you know about these things and how it works and all of that. But the one phrase that I use the most to our missionaries is, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And that's it right here. So number one, we consider Christ. Number two, we must continue on. Well, Pastor, I've been looking at Christ every day, but we got to look at Christ and then continue on. It's not just looking at Christ and not moving. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord for as much as you know. We must determine to be patient in the Lord. You know, a survey said that if an internet page takes more than 8 seconds to load, the site loses about one-third of its visitors. When I read that, I thought about dial-up internet and all the noises that went with it. I won't try to make those for you. You know how to do those already anyway. I thought 8 seconds, if the page doesn't load in 8 seconds, one-third of the people leave to go somewhere else. You know what? I read that and I thought that's kind of humorous, but you know, then I thought about me sometimes in my life, standing at the microwave waiting for the popcorn to hurry up and get done. You know, when I was a kid, we didn't have the microwave popcorn. Many of you remember just making it on the stove. It tastes so much better that way anyway. Okay, let's just move on though. And the butter too. Did you want butter on there, Brother Tony? Okay, butter. Okay, sorry. Left out the butter and the salt. All that healthy stuff. No, we must wait on the Lord. He has a perfect plan. He has a perfect opportunity coming our way. It is a direct challenge. Do not grow weary. Number two, we have an encouraging reminder. Here's the encouraging reminder. Ye shall reap. Let's say that together. Ready? Ye shall reap. You know what I learned from that? I shall reap. That's a promise. Go with me quickly to James chapter number 5. An encouraging reminder. Ye shall reap. This week, let's meditate on this verse all week. James chapter number 5, verse 7. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Notice in verse 7, we see that the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Letter A, we shall reap spiritual growth. That is what God wants for me every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day, and you'll grow. Some of us sang that when we were this tall. When's the last time you read your Bible and prayed every day? Hopefully it wasn't when you were that tall, unless you're only this tall. It's a proven fact. we will grow spiritually. Flip back a couple of pages to James chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect work. Wait on the Lord. And what happens? That ye may be perfect. It's talking about maturity, spiritual growth. We do not get saved on Sunday, and by Monday we are an adult in Christ. There's some growth. There's some discipleship. There's some putting off the old ways and adding things that are new. There's replacing things with what God wants us to have in our life. And yes, we can grow in the Lord, and yes, we can grow quick, as the more of the things of the world we get away with, get out of our life, excuse me, is what I mean by that, and adding things in from the Lord, we'll grow. But it's a process. But we see what comes from it. It comes spiritual growth. Growth. I am not left alone in the trying of my faith. That ye may be perfect and entire. What is the last two words? Wanting nothing. I have everything that I need. I will have no want. What do you want? What do I want? The Bible says here, as we wait on the Lord, specifically, as we let patience have her perfect work, God will give us everything, not only that we need, but what we want when it comes to our spiritual growth. That's the secret. The secret is we will reap. We will reap. What will we reap? Number one, letter A, we will reap spiritual growth. Letter B, you will reap spiritual rewards. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. A direct challenge, do not grow weary. An encouraging reminder, ye shall reap. What will we reap? Spiritual growth. I like the song we used to sing on the bus route. Things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Remember, we used to sing, the things I used to smoke, I don't smoke them anymore. You know, I still believe that smoking does not honor God. Amen. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't honor God. We used to sing, the things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Boy, as damaging as a cigarette is to your body, that tongue, the Bible says, that you and I have inside of our mouth is pretty damaging, not under control. And you know what it says at the end of the song? It says, since I've been born again. Things I used to say, I don't say them anymore. Why? There's been a great change since I've been born again. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. We even went as far as to say, the friends I used to have, I don't have them anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. And you could add everything you want to into that. God desires us to be growing in grace. Don't look at the person around you and try to figure out if they're growing or not. Pick up the Bible and say, God, let this mirror of the Word of God reveal to me things that are still on me that need to be taken and thrown out. I believe He would reveal that to us. He's faithful that way. But secondly, letter B, we shall reap spiritual rewards. Chapter 4, verse 7 says, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. In Roman athletic games, a laurel wreath was given to the winners. More than likely, this would have been very known to Paul's audience and readers in that day. It was a symbol of triumph and honor. And it was called the most coveted prize in ancient Rome. What is it that we are seeking as a prize? What kind of reward are we looking for? Are we looking for temporal or eternal? I believe Paul is telling us our reward, this spiritual reward, is a crown of righteousness. It is something that does not tarnish. I have things that I have saved for years. I can't get rid of them. You know, they have sentimental value, but you know what? Not a one of them is going with me to heaven. Somebody's going to get a great baseball card collection when I go. If the rapture happens, somebody that pilfers through my house, they're going to find a good baseball card set. I have them from the mid-70s, lots of them. They were given to me in an inheritance from one of my family members. I just can't get rid of them. I probably could have sold them years ago and actually made some money. I don't know if they're worth anything now. Brother Kim, I can't sell them. But I should be able to just get rid of them. You know why? Because it's not going to mean anything when I go, when the Lord comes back. I don't think they have a grip on me because I haven't really thought about them, quite honestly, until the other day. I looked up and saw some of them on the shelf. I'm like, oh, there's those cards. I didn't even know where they were. But I wonder, what has a grip on me? What has a grip on you that is not eternal? What is there that's keeping you from reaping spiritual rewards? No matter how difficult the journey is, keep on living for the Lord Jesus. We will all find out it was well worth it. Let her see. What else shall we reap? Let her see, we shall reap the souls of men. Proverbs 11:30 tells us, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. William Carey, many of you know about William Carey. William Carey labored for 7 years before he had one Hindu convert in the country of India. 7 years. But he did reap. And he reaped a lot more than one, by the way. Again, do not grow weary, because you shall reap. God's word does not return void. It comes with that promise. Adoniram Judson has the similar testimony in the country of Burma. He too labored for some 7 years before his faithfulness was rewarded from the Lord, but it was rewarded. A direct challenge, do not grow weary. An encouraging reminder, ye shall reap. Last, number three, we find a binding qualification. There's something that binds this whole verse together, and it's the last if clause. I call them if clauses. They're all through the Bible. If ye shall ask anything in my name, right? I will do it. If my people, which are called by my name. There's ifs. Well, here's the binding qualification to this whole verse. If we faint not. Letter A, let's determine to don't faint in the end. What does the word faint mean? Here's what it means. Exactly that. It means to let up in the end. To let up in the end. I don't know when the end is for you, and I don't know when the end is for me. So this is the determination. Never let up. The end for me might be next week. The end for you might be next year, 2019. Some of you, we might be having your funeral. I'm not saying that to be cute and funny. It's true. It might happen. I don't want to let up, though. I want to keep going for the honor and the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Boy, we have been given so many tools of God. This book right here, the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us, a local church like this, we have every reason to continue to press on and not faint. Gideon, the Bible says in Judges chapter 8, verse 4, Gideon was faint, and yet he kept on pursuing. I want to encourage you today. Maybe you're feeling a bit weary. You shall reap if you faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. The word pursuing in Judges chapter 8, verse number 4, talks about Gideon pursuing. It means this: to chase, to follow. God has a will for everybody here. You know what our job is? Follow it. And not only that, I like the word chase. Remember when you were younger and you played chase out in the schoolyard? You know? Hey, chase after me. Bet you can't catch me. God's will is what should be motivating us to not faint. God's will is what should be motivating us to continue on. God's will is what should be motivating us to continue to open His Word and talk to Him in prayer and live for His honor and glory. God's will, let us not chase, let us not faint, but let us pursue it. You think God's going to hide from somebody pursuing Him? No. He's not. Some of you in here today have only been saved a short amount of time. I'm so thankful you got saved, but you know what? That's not where it ends. That's the beginning of a wonderful life. That's the beginning of an amazing journey. That's the beginning of an exciting adventure. You're looking for adventure? Follow God's will. You won't be short of adventure. There'll be mountaintops. There'll be valleys. Here's the good news. Whether it's a mountaintop or a valley, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You know who's not going to be with you to the end of the world? Your boss. Your boss. They're not. That boss isn't going to be with you to the end. That boss isn't going to necessarily be the one who helps you in the valley. But God will be. Your shepherd will be. Follow His will. Pursue the will of God like Gideon kept pursuing even though he fainted. Letter A, don't faint in the end. Letter B, don't forget the eternal. We've kind of talked about this already. Don't forget the eternal. Number one, souls of men. Number two, stewardship. Matthew 6, let's go over there quickly. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. The Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal, nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let us not allow the allurements of the world to take us away from the biblical stewardship that God challenges us here and commands us, really, in this great Sermon on the Mount. Lay not up for yourselves. Sounds like to me it's a directive from the Lord, amen? But lay it up in heaven. Don't forget the eternal. Letter C, and lastly, let's have faith for the future. I don't know about tomorrow. And I don't know many things about the future. I don't even understand what God's doing right now, but I know this. He has me and the whole world in His hands. There's nothing God cannot do. Think about this. Luke chapter number 1, Gabriel visits Mary. And he says, "Mary, you're going to have a baby." Turner translation. "You're going to have a baby." "Wait a minute, Gabriel. I've never even known a man. I'm a virgin. I can't have a baby. Luke 1, I think it's 37, says, with men, this is impossible. Something along that line. But with God, all things are possible. Have you lost your faith in a God of the impossible? It's easy to do. I'm not talking about saving faith. Once you're saved, I believe you're saved for all eternity. I believe the Bible teaches us that. You cannot lose what God gave you. You cannot lose what you did not earn. You did not earn salvation. I did not earn salvation. You received it by faith, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God for all eternity. But we can lose our faith in our daily walk with God. God said, nothing's impossible. I think if God can take his son and put his son in a miraculous way inside of the womb of a virgin, I think God can handle my situations in life. Don't you? Don't lose faith. Have faith for the future. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith draws the poison from every grief. Faith takes the sting from every loss. And faith quenches the fire of every pain. J.G. Holland said that. Sorrow looks back. I wish I would have. Hey, like we say in our home, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Means nothing. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. A lot of giants in this land. They're really big and ugly. I don't think we can lick these guys. We have no chance. That's what 10 men said. Only 2 said, we got this. Because we got God. We have that spirit of Caleb and Joshua once again. It says, with God, we can win the battle no matter what it is. Sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. Faith looks up. Where are you looking today? Looking back? Stop. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Are you looking around at the giants? Stop. Look up at our God. He's defeated every giant. He's got a perfect record. Undefeated. Florence Chadwick, you may know the name. She was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. In July, on July 1851, she attempted to swim from Catalina Island to the California coast. In case you're wondering, that's 26 miles. That's a pretty good swim. She was in the water, the story tells us, for 15 hours. She was only a half mile from making it. And she said, I can't go any further. See, there was a great fog that had formed, and Florence could not see land. She was quoted as saying this, if I could have seen land, I might. By the way, she tried it again and made it. If we don't have our eyes looking right direction, you might be so close, even a victory. We've got to stop looking around. It's not 16 to nothing. We're winners that are on the side of this book. That doesn't make me better than anybody. It's just what the Bible says. I am victorious not because of me, but because of the promises of this book. My faith must be daily refreshed in the Lord Jesus. This will keep me pressing on, even when weariness sets in, even when I can't see the shore. Just keep on going. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap.